someone trying to sell vacations for my soul. These are the days I wish I'd been an astronaut instead. These are the days I wish I'd stayed in bed. I was watching my TV with a quart of old Milwaukee, catching up on all the murderers when my telephone starts to ring. It turns out that it's the president telling me if he gets my vote, I will soon be wearing a mink coat, 'cause he'll make all of us Americans rich as kings. Well, he had me hooked, line, and sinker, y'all, even though it was just a recording. Till the news showed guys on Wall Street trying to fly without their jets. So I fed my German shepherds, checked the canned goods in the basement, and hoped the president's replacement hasn't tried to get my telephone. These are the days I wish I'd been an Eskimo instead. These are the days I wish I'd stayed in bed. I did not believe him, but just take a look around. So I peeked out, the air smelled cheesy, and when trees were left looked gnarly. But I'm so afraid, get back on your Harley, 'cause you existential creeps just bring me down. These are the days I wish I'd been a maniac instead. These are the days I wish I'd lived in pain inside my head. I wish I'd stayed in bed.
Yeah, WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, WYXR.org on the web. This is Song on the Radio. I'm Robbie. Winston's out this week. Big thanks to Carrie Mahoney that brought us in from 1 to 2 p.m. with her always great program, Ring the Alarm. Of course, the Big G's on after us with Strange Mysterious Sounds. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have Ross Rice on the mic from Human Radio. And I don't know, like, let's back announce. Working backwards. That was Human Radio. Off of the self-titled record that we'll be listening to tonight in the listening lab. That's These Are the Days. Before that, brand new music from local band Ark of Quasar. That's In a Trance. They're going to be playing at the Overton Park Shell Saturday night, which would on its own be a great, incredible show. But coupled with Thomas and Graham doing Infinity Stairs. I played Infinity Mirrors earlier, that's why. Infinity Stairs, they're going to be doing projections on the back of the shell. You do not want to miss that. That's Saturday night, Arca Quasar with Infinity Stairs. Also, a show going on tonight. I played a couple from the bands playing tonight at B-Side. Locals, Ibex Clone. Off their great All Channels Clear, that's There Is No Light. Came out on Goner in 2023. And from overseas, the Tubbs are playing as well, off their Cotton Crown album from this year on Trouble in Mind. That's Freak Mode. That show, come to the stereo session and then go to that right after. It's going to be great. And before that, Jocko Garner with Gray Lanes off his 2015 Hypnophobia. Yeah, I think did I get that right? I try here, and sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't, but I get close. And then out of California, Wise Blood. That's her opening track off Front Row Seat to Earth. That's Diary on Mexican Summer. Also from the West Coast, Dummy with Fissured Ceramics. And before that, Guardian Singles. They're playing Goner Fest this year in September. That was Roll Undead off their self-titled record. And kicked the whole thing off with Tobin Sprout of Guided by Voices doing Future Boy Today, Man of Tomorrow. Maybe one of my favorite songs ever. Well, I hope you're having a glorious Wednesday. And looks like they're prepping for graduation on Saturday here for Crosstown High. They've got all the pictures up, and the seniors did a big walk last week. So Saturday, that'll be going on here. That'll be exciting. All right, let's see. Ross was going to come on right after Human Radio, but then he realized he has the unheard Human Radio second record upstairs in his room upstairs. So he went to go grab that. Let's play some. Where to keep going? Ross will be with me in just a minute.
thinking and time.
WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, WYXR.org on the web. This is Song on the Radio. I'm Robbie. That's some Sly Stone in Time off the Great Fresh. I've got a very special guest on mic two, Ross Rice.
Howdy, howdy.
What's up, Ross?
I'm well, man. It's good to be in Memphis, Tennessee on a beautiful May day.
Yes, yeah. We've got Ross Rice in town to hang with us tonight and talk about his record from 1990, the Human Radio self-titled record, which came out on Columbia Records. We're not going to get too deep. We're going to get deep tonight.
Yep.
But one of my favorite records. Ross and I go way back. I knew who he was before he knew who I was, but I was a big fan of Human Radio. And then, you know, you produced some records for Big Ass Truck, the band I was in, indeed. And we played a lot of music together.
Sure did.
And also remember, you've reminded me about Tone. We used to do this thing called Tone Generator.
Tone Generator, yeah, that was probably one of the more exciting musical events that we had going around here.
Explain what that was, because it's hard to explain.
Well, the best way to explain Tone Generator was that a lot of us basically brought our instruments, but we didn't play them as instruments. Mm-hmm. We basically had them generating tones, and then we sort of would operate the tones. And I particularly remember Steve Selvidge with the guitar in his lap, never playing a chord or a single riff.
Yes.
All the sounds that came from the guitar were just pretty much just effects and craziness. And so, yeah, it was improvisational. It was cutting edge. We did what the heck we wanted to do.
Yeah.
It was kind of a beautiful thing, and a lot of times it really worked.
Yeah, and it's kind of before computer recording, but you had a digital recorder, and then you took it home and would make some cool mixes. Yeah, we'll have to bring those in.
We'll
do a whole special.
I think it deserves it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I tell you what. The rest of this hour, it's gonna be the Ross Rice show, and we'll just. I've got some songs loaded up. I think that remind me of you or remind me of Human Radio. We'll play some Human Radio. We'll play some solo Ross Rice, which we'll talk. We'll talk about that next break. But I don't want to play too much from the Human Radio self-titled record because we're gonna be playing that tonight. So, but you were like, I've got the second record.
Yeah.
I knew y'all did. So you. Human Radio did three records, the self-titled record in 90, and then much, much later in 2016, you did a record called Samsara.
Yep.
But I don't know much about this middle record.
Well, the middle record was really after we had finished the first record for Columbia Records, and I had a publishing deal with Sony Tree in Nashville, and the band had relocated to Nashville. And so we had access to the studio there, so we were working on our demos, so our new material there, and we're given some carte blanche in the studio to spend some extra time on it, and we ended up recording another album's worth of material as demos. But then we gussied it up real good and made nice mixes of them, and we presented that as our calling card to get another record deal once Columbia had tired of us, and we were unsuccessful getting that record deal, unfortunately. Yeah. But we ended up with actually a pretty good I thought it was actually a pretty good record out of it. Even though it was not really meant to be a record, it was just more or less a lot of demos. But it sort of pulled together into an interesting group of tunes. So, so when asked about it, we sort of say, yes, we have the Human Radio 2 record, but it's not an actual record.
Okay.
It's not something you can buy or anything. It's really something you can download or you can go to Bandcamp and play it and stuff like that.
Oh, so, cool. Yeah. All right. And you're on Bandcamp. Is it humanradio.bandcamp.com?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Well, let's play. Let's play a couple off that. We'll play Have a Beautiful Day and World Gone Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll come back and chat. How's that sound?
This ought to make sense once you hear it.
Okay, good. Ross Rice in the studio with me. This is from Human Radio's unreleased second record. And then, of course, we'll be at the Listening Lab tonight. Cocktail party from 5 to 6. And we'll be listening to the Human Radio record from 6 to 8. It's free. Come see ya.
Ah! Hey, this is Steve Selvage, and you are listening to WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis.
The media's fitting on the BDI liaison. The media believers never hear about the bleeding. They say this town will be clean. We got superior machines. It's the same old thing, day after day. Sneak a big gun and nothing stands in your way. And some followers of the Savior with un-Jesus-like behaviors say, eliminate your neighbor while he's rattling his saber. And then victory can be saved as we bury the cadavers. It's the same old thing, day after day. We'll get them on their knees and we'll teach them how to pray.
WYXR 91.7 FM, FS, WYXR.org on the web. It's Song on the Radio. I'm Robbie here with my very special guest, Ross Rice.
Hey, hey.
Yo, yo, yo. Ross Rice, of course, appearing tonight at the Human Radio Stereo Session, and then tomorrow night in the Green Room playing with Steve Stelvage, Steve Potts. We'll talk about that before the end of the hour. But we just heard a couple songs off the Human Radio second record that didn't quite come out.
Yep.
That's cool. Well, it's available on Bandcamp, so
yep,
that's good.
It is.
That's good. But after Human Radio, you moved to Nashville. Did you?
Well, we moved as a band to Nashville, which probably didn't necessarily endear us to a lot of the local folks here, but but we did it anyway because we thought it was a career move.
We figured
it was a smart thing to do, but after about 4 years, I turned tail and came back, as you may recall.
That's right.
The other guys stayed there.
But while you were up there, you made some good connections, and still working on songs, and you recorded this record.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. I mean, I know about it a little bit.
But. Well, this... the Umpteen record.
Yes.
So the Umpteen record was, again, this was sort of born from demos. I had a publishing deal with Sony Tree in Nashville and access to the studio. So once again, I got in there and started making some stuff happen. But then I also hooked up with a guy named Brad Jones, a really great musician, producer, songwriter, etc., who had a studio called Alex the Great in Nashville, and I got sort of working with Brad, and I started doing all my demos at his place because he was cutting me a great deal,
right?
And he was also sort of giving me a little extra production on the side, so I took that, and so we started making a record basically based on, and I was being paid for out of publishing demos, but then what happened was that a copy of this got to Steve Earle.
Mm-hmm.
The singer-songwriter Steve Earle, some of you may have heard of.
I know him, yes.
And Steve sort of really liked the record, so he was just starting a new label called E Squared with his partner Jack Eastman, and they offered me a deal. And I graciously took it. but the problem was that although we got this record made and put out and distributed, and it was nationally distributed through ADA, the problem was that I couldn't get much steam off of Steve Earle because my record was very, very different than Americana and the rest of the stuff that was on the label.
Yeah.
So once again, I kind of ended up between the cracks, and the record came out and got a lot of really good attention around the country without any promotional money whatsoever. And it did all right, but considering, but then... You know, that was that.
Well, so. it's an absolutely phenomenal record. And we started working together around that time. You produced the second Big Ass Truck record, Kent.
Yep.
And we started playing together. And then we would play some of the songs off this record. And you even took us up and we got to play with Steve Earle one night.
Yes, we did.
That was fun.
Yeah. And Steve Earle also, he also paid for some demos for us, as you may recall.
Yes, that's right. So I forgot about that. Yes, he did. Yeah.
So we had some, Steve Earle has some good influences on us here. We can sort of accept that.
Well, I say we play a couple songs off this. I mean, honest, I'd let you pick because all these are my favorites. So why don't you intro this one? This is Miss July.
Since it's a song I wrote with Brad Jones, a straight up collaboration. I wrote the music, he wrote the lyrics, and it's pretty much it's impressionistic. I would say it would be a good way to put it, but I think you'll find it to be an uplifting a moment in time.
Ross Rice off Umpteen. This is Miss July.
In the but I feel you so near, right here. Everything comes from the innocent girl.
Walk away once again.
WYXR 91.7 FM, MemphisWYXR.org on the web. This is Song on the Radio. I've got a very special guest in the studio with me for this hour, Ross Rice. Hey, Ross.
Hey, hey.
He's going to be here tonight for as part of the Human Radio stereo session that we're doing. His record that came out in 1990, we'll talk about in a second. But we just heard two off of your solo record. What year did that? That was
96.
96. Umpteen. Next to Nothing and Miss July. You're not, I mean, so what are you doing now? Like, now you're what? What do you do now?
What do I do now?
Yeah.
I am a teacher. I teach at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York. So I'm teaching audio recording and production as well as songwriting. And,
okay.
And I'm teaching a very interesting sort of group of people. A lot of these students are never going to be professional musicians or recorders. They're all engineers. They're going to be building buildings and designing nuclear reactors and stuff. So
yeah.
So I'm a good little sort of side thing for them to get into for a little while. Just to sort of, and some of the people actually have gone on to audio careers. Actually, I have launched a couple of audio careers.
Nice.
As of now. Not too many, but a few. But yeah, mostly I'm an educator now.
Well,
so that's
my
thing.
You weren't a teacher back in the day officially, but you're a great teacher.
Well, thank you.
I know that from experience.
You're too kind. I'll be too kind.
Yes, yeah. And we got the Big G coming up next. He's in the building, and you know, we've all played music back in the day. Y'all hadn't met, so that was cool. Big G's coming up with Strange Mysterious Sounds. Ross, so if someone doesn't know Human Radio and we're trying to tell them to come tonight, why should they come tonight and hear about the Human Radio record?
Well, I guess one good reason is just that as far as Memphis bands are concerned, we're probably one of the weirder ones. There's really not much Memphis about our band other than the fact that we all were living here and sort of living at the same time. So our music has a slightly different perspective maybe that might be a little bit unusual for some folks. So mm-hmm. I would say if you want to sort of find out why that happened, come check it out.
Yeah.
So
I see Big G rolled over to the mic three.
Yeah, I did. I think it's also, I mean, that was an intriguing question.
Yes.
And I think another great reason to come is because, I mean, we're talking about the end of the 80s, and you're one of the few Memphis bands to get signed to a major label at that point.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I can't think of any others. So I would love to hear your perspective on what that was like. I mean, Memphis was once like one of the recording capitals of the United States.
Yeah,
and at that point, we'd been knocked pretty far down the totem pole. So, I mean, you look around to other places in the South, like Athens, and there's REM going on and all these things. Like, you were the thing that was going on in Memphis.
Yep, yeah.
And I got to say, there was a big... everyone was rooting for you.
Yes.
Because there was just, the rest of us thought, well, we're not going anywhere. You know? We're just going to have to make our own party right here.
Yeah, that's nice for you to say
yes.
That.
Yeah.
Don't answer that question, though.
Don't.
We're gonna answer tonight.
Not right now, later.
That's a great question, Greg. Yeah. And if I forget to ask it like that, you should help me out. But let's hear let's hear something off it. Your second single was My First Million. Let's play that one. Give me a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about that one. So My First Million was slated to be our second single.
Mm-hmm.
They actually went so far as to make cassettes of them to sort of distribute to radio stations. We had a video treatment that came our way. We had a video director. We had all this stuff. We okayed the video. We were on track to actually make that video, and that record was going to come out. It was capturing top five phones everywhere they were playing it.
Yeah.
But right around that time is when the president of Columbia Records saw the band for the first time.
Okay.
And he wasn't quite sure what to make of us at
really?
That point. So there was a sudden drop in enthusiasm from the company, as it were. So that didn't actually happen. But it was going to happen, and it could have happened. And, of course, there's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas going on with us when
yeah.
you think about that sort of thing. But it's just how it is.
Back in the day, where, like, one or two people could make or break a career. Now you've got the internet, and, I mean, I'm sure there's still gatekeepers, but they're hopeful. Feels like there may be fewer now. I don't know. Or yeah, at least you can get your music out.
That was an age-old story. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in a band, and we were signed to Capitol in 91. And the album had just come out. President of Capitol stepped down. New guy came in. cleared house.
Yes. Same thing.
Everything that he didn't like, and that was it. And so it went from like the when it came out till 3 months later, it was a cutout.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we had the same issue happen because I mean, when we were signed, we were signed under Walter Yetnikoff, and then they switched to Donny Einar. And all of a sudden, Donny Einar's going, "Who the hell are these guys?"
Yeah.
So that's the story of the music business.
It really is, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call this a number one hit on WYXR. Here's Human Radio's my first million coming up.
Some happiness. If there's Ceylon satisfaction, I might just have to stock up. Maybe I'll buy myself some muscles and a California lifestyle, an irresponsible Ferrari, an ex-cheerleader to knock up. Yeah, and if there is some left over, I might buy a leather jacket and a brand new Harley Davidson and a fifth of Cuervo gold. Then I'd ride all night to Reno and lose the rest in some casino, like any good Los Angelino. Keep my creditors on hold. When I made my first million, when I made my first million, when I made my first million, million, I will try hard to deserve it. Like a good boy, I will serve it out to those who need it most. See, the lawyers, the accountants, politicians and executives, the mighty U.S. government, Father, Son and Holy Ghost. When I make my first million, when I make my first million, sandwiches. When I make my first million, I'll look back on this and grin. Now that greed is back in fashion, I'll rebel with real compassion. I earth that stockpile satisfaction, soon be turning to chagrin.
Hold on, guys. Y'all are having these good conversations off mic. Jeez. Song on the radio. I'm here, Robbie, here with Ross Rice. And on mic three, we've got the Big G sitting in with us, just talking about it.
Thanks for letting me jump in.
Man, of course.
Great to have you, man.
Love the perspective, too. I mean, like, just having major label deals around that same time and just, you know, how quick that industry can change is just fascinating.
Very fickle.
Yes.
And like you mentioned earlier, there wasn't the presence of the internet and all this stuff where, you know, if you can get out there and find a place for your music and find your fan base, and pretty much now labels dictate what they do by that so much,
right,
more than this mercurial person at the top of the chain who says, I like this and don't like that.
They don't sign you to a deal unless you have a million followers.
Exactly. Yep. Now you have to have, you have to have that.
Which, you know, it's like stressful, but you're also, like you said, you're teaching these engineers to not be engineers, but to just engineer their own music. And
yeah,
like,
much.
I mean, it's like you're in charge of your, you're in charge of your destiny. I mean, it's harder. It can be harder work, but I think probably more fulfilling long term.
Yeah, pretty much. I would say that. I mean, it's hard. There's been a lot of fulfilling things about my music career, but there's also been a lot of not fulfilling things. So let's just be real here. But it is what it is. I mean, it was in 1990, 1998. It was a different situation, and you had gatekeepers, and you had to sort of, and actually you could get a record deal without having a major following,
as
which you can't really do that now. But you could do it then, because if you had the right connections, if you had the right people on your side saying the right things to the right folks, there was a pathway for you to get to into the doorway.
Yeah.
And we got that. We got that. We had that pathway to that doorway. But it was not necessarily going to be a guarantee that door would be open.
Right.
Well, A&R people had a lot more control back then.
Yes, they did.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're here now.
Yes.
And we're talking about the record from 1990, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm alive, and I still have my liver. We're good, man. My lungs, all good.
And you're so you used to do, when you moved to Nashville, then you moved back, and you spent a lot of time at the Blue Monkey. Not necessarily drinking.
Well, some of that drinking. Too. Yeah, there was a bit of that going on.
But you used to do, I mean, a weekly gig. I mean,
so we had a Thursday night happening for almost 10 years.
We had
Steve Selvage on guitar, and I had the late great Harry Peel on the drums.
Yes.
And I can't say enough about him. If you want to get me started about Harry, we can spend a good long time talking about him, but I miss him terribly.
Yeah.
I can't even really get into that too much.
Yeah,
but anyways,
that's fair.
But yeah, it was wonderful. We had a great trio happening. And sometimes I had Jonathan Wires playing bass with us. Some different folks. Logan Hanna sat in with us. We've had some really good musicians. But it was a Thursday night thing that actually kind of became a cool thing. It was a lot of fun to do it. It was no stress. I was playing my songs and whatever songs we liked, and was keeping Steve Selvage busy, which was a good thing to do. And we were having a lot of fun. That was almost 10 years. It's kind of hard to believe it was that much
10 year gig. Like,
that's
one
quite much, a run, man.
Yes.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, that the math doesn't work out. It's really more like 7 or 8.
That's still, so, I mean, if you
still pretty good.
Still, I'm
Thursday
still,
night.
Well, you're going to do it tomorrow. You're going to have another Thursday night gig. You came in for a stereo session, and we're like, I need a gig. And I'm like, well, let's talk to the green room. So you're going to be playing up at the green room tomorrow night.
Yep.
And who do you have with you tomorrow?
I got the great Steve Selvage.
Okay.
And I've got the awesome, amazing Steve Potts playing drums, who I spent 2 years playing in the Coolers with back in the mid '80s.
Wow. Okay.
And he's easily one of my very favorites. I've been very lucky with Steves and drummers and split it that way. So it's going to be a special evening for me because I haven't played with these guys in a while, and it's going to be very inspiring.
And the green room is a real treat to play, and you're going to love it.
That's what I hear.
And tickets are selling fast. I talked to Delara. There's a few left. You can go to Crosstown Arts, crosstownconcourse.com, and get tickets for that. You're a phenomenal performer, Ross. I got lucky enough to play with you, but also like lucky enough to see you play a lot. And I love your songs. I love your singing. And
fun.
I'm
Thank
really
you.
This was my stereo session pick. I get to JB lets me pick one a year, so I picked the Human Radio.
Well,
one
I sure appreciate year. You doing that.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Greg might be there. I'll definitely be there. We'll be hanging. We've got a full house tonight. But we'll squeeze you in if you want to come check it out. But Ross, I appreciate you swinging by.
Man, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah.
Robbie, it's always good to sit and talk to you. And Greg, great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you too.
Man. I tell you, why don't you send this tribute out to this last one, this blind man, and then we'll turn it over to Big G.
Yeah, well, this is a song called Blind Man from my Dwight record, which was recorded right here in Memphis, Tennessee at Young Avenue Sound with Kevin Houston involved and mix Also, some of it was done over at the old Sounds and Reel.
Yeah.
And the drummer on this is the great late Harry Peel, who, again, I can't say enough about. But I cannot listen to the song without thinking about him, because he just makes the song work so well. He changed my life, and he's hopefully he's changed some of your lives too at some point. So a great shout out to the wonderful Harry Peel. This is Blind Man.